person that you had, you guys had looked forward at the future possible kids that were coming out.
Yeah.
Beyond this class, had you looked even further than that, or?
We did, but for us, the first thing we knew was whatever we were looking at last year wasn't going to be an accurate representation. I mean, we thought it would give us a good sense of what was there, but to be fair, some of the guys that we thought would be some of the top guys in this class don't look like they will be kind of first-round picks and second-round picks. But I think at the end of the day, at some point, you can say it's going to be next year or 2 years from now, but you don't get an opportunity where teams at the top of the draft are willing to trade that spot, either because they have it filled, like the team that was picking one did last year, or because they have a plan in place that's kind of long-term like Cleveland did. And we just felt like it was a unique opportunity that we needed to take advantage of. And certainly, hindsight's 20/20, but looking back on it, we feel really good about that decision. No, it was a big price to pay, and it's going to affect some of the things that we can do here, not only in this draft, but next year. But having that guy and being able to build around that guy, it's a luxury that we haven't had in quite some time.
In terms of building around him, how big of a piece is that for free agents that you might be trying to lure your way to say, we have this quarterback set up and he's building towards something big here? Can you use that as a tool to get guys here?
Well, I'd say first, in free agency, money does talk. There's no question about it. But having a guy that people want to play with, and we've had that before, having a quarterback that people say, I want to play with that guy, I want to build around that guy, that's huge for you from a recruiting perspective. So if things are close or even and people see that there's kind of this opportunity to build chemistry with a guy over a long period of time, we think that will help us as we go in and recruit players.
Howie, when you look at the decisions that are confronting you in terms of Kelce and Barwin, how much do you factor in what they mean in terms of leadership, the presence they have in the locker room on both sides of that ball?
Well, I think there's two parts of that. One is that you don't want to pay for a guy for what he's done. You got to figure out what his value is going forward and what he's making. I think the second part of that is our leadership comes in all different forms. So it comes from the players on the team, but also comes from the coaching staff. You know, it comes from having guys who are together. And I think one of the things that, certainly from the quarterback perspective, that Carson's leadership and getting a chance to be the guy through the whole offseason, I think what everyone will see is the kind of leadership skills he has and how much that adds to the team, because it's hard when you're a rookie and 8 days before the start of the regular season, you're the starting quarterback. It's hard when you don't work with the starters every day in the offseason. And for him to be able to do that, I think a big part of our leadership going forward is Carson, and that's one of the reasons we were really attracted to him.
So what is Connor going forward? What is Connor going forward as a player? I mean, you saw the year that he had, the scheme change. How do you view him and project him?
Well, you talk about Connor and what he's meant to our football team on and off the field. And there was a lot of questions about his ability to play in a 4-3, and he did it. He did a really good job with it. And so, obviously, we're not going to get into, you know, whoever you guys ask me about, and we're not going to get into specifics about who's going to be in back and who's not. But certainly when you talk about Connor, he's got all those traits that we're talking about here, about guys that have done a good job and still have stuff left in the tank.
At the end of the season, and then again in Mobile, we asked you about your cap situation. Both times you sort of emphasized that this wasn't something that you just woke up yesterday and discovered, that you've known about it. That lends to the idea that you know what you want to do. You know what you have to do. Is that the case? I mean, you're not making decisions right now, or have you just not announced decisions?
You know, I think it goes back to really when this all started last January and looking about not only what we had on the books last year, but going forward some of the guaranteed contracts. And that was really the impetus for some of the moves that we made. Not necessarily the value of the players, because some of those guys have gone out and had good years in other places, but about lacking the flexibility to do some things over a period of time. And I think if I went back and looked at some of my comments probably last year at this time, this wasn't a one-year situation, that we had kind of constraints not only last year, but this year going forward. And we want to do the right thing by our young quarterback, and we want to get as many guys together with continuity as long as possible. So does that restrict us in some ways? Yes. but it still goes with the philosophy that we're trying to build of having some continuity and building something over a period of time.
What does play into the timing of when you decide to release a player before the ninth?
I think you have to figure out, is there value for a player if you've made that decision? You also have to figure out, can you replace that player? Because we have this conversation all the time. It sounds great. Let's cut this guy. Let's cut this guy. But who are we getting to replace that player? And are we getting someone that fits us? Or are we just going to add another hole to that position? And I think that's all about the information gathering thing. And it's a fun time of year, so it's easy to just say, hey, let's just do something now. But we want to take our time. We want to be thoughtful about it. At the same time, if we make a decision, we also want to be respectful of that player and give them an opportunity. So you try to balance all those things, but we got to do what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles.
So what is the cap space now? Is it 12.5 or is it 10.8? There's discrepancy in terms of the math there.
Yeah, I think whatever everyone's numbers of the cap space and my perception of what our cap space is going to be different, because we go through different things and kind of have an idea of some of the things we want to do. So I don't know what's out there reported.
There is a sphere there that you guys won't have enough to do what you typically can do in free agency. I mean, you're pretty nifty in terms of back loading. Are you still able to do whatever you want, even with what you have?
I don't know that necessarily what we've done in the past, going back to some of the years before I was kind of away from it, have necessarily been good things, So is that a positive that, what we've done in the past and maybe been the biggest bidder and signed guys? Has that worked out? I think you got to balance those things. So does that necessarily hurt us for the moment as opposed to what we're trying to do long term? And those are all the things we're talking about.
You're balancing, obviously your need to win now, your desire to win now versus if you can kind of like restrict yourself from doing that because you want to maybe just invest more and more in the draft.
I think it just goes to what is our ultimate goal and how do we get there. And so some of that is you got to take some short-term pains for that, and hopefully when you do that, you get the long-term gains. And when you have, again, I know we keep going back to this, but it's the way we think. When you have a quarterback who's 24 years old, and you have a defense tackle who's 26. I've said that wrong a couple of times, I know. Okay. He's 26. You want to do something so that, 2, 3, 4 years from now, when maybe you have that opportunity to add the missing piece or one piece, you have that flexibility. When you want to re-sign some of these guys coming through these next couple of drafts, you have that flexibility. Whereas now, does it make sense? Are we in the position where if we sign this one guy, that puts us over the top? And we've got to be honest about that.
Vinny's a guy that you paid a lot of money to. He's never really been a three-down guy. When you talk about guys that can step in and replace guys that might be, might leave or whatever, is he a player that can kind of step into a role or step into a much larger role than what he's had?
When we re-signed Vinny last year, he had 9 sacks in the National Football League. We felt very confident that he would fit in the scheme. And going back and looking at the cut-ups and the tapes of through the course of the season, he's a guy who got a lot of pressure, And I think as we go forward, he's someone that we're counting on for a large role. We know he can get pressure. And being in this system for 2 years in a row, he's been a lot of defenses. He's gone back and forth and forth and back. And we need more out of him. But we feel confident that we're going
to
get it.
Does he need to rush more inside?
In free agency, would that impact what you guys do in the draft as far as maybe if you go out and address a need in free agency, maybe that wouldn't be such a priority in the draft? Do you look at it that way?
No, I think ideally we look at the draft as kind of an open canvas and let's get the best guys and not project it based on need. So ideally you're taking care of some of your needs in free agency and then you're going to the draft and just trying to add guys who can help you going forward. Is it going to work that way this year? I think I go back to the point of class is different this year. Guys have done a great job of re-signing their own players. There isn't as many guys on the market. There's a lot of competition for those guys. And so we're going to try to minimize our risk going forward because of the situation we're in. And to the extent that we can, try to make decisions that are in the best interest of our team, not just for 2017, but going forward.
What do you see as a strength in this year's draft?
Certainly when you look at the running back position, we think it's a possible historic class about how many guys and where they would have gone in previous drafts. The defensive backfield is unique, certainly since I've been in Indy, which I guess is a lot longer than I want to think, but it's unique to have that kind of depth. And there are also positions that aren't as good, and that's just the nature of the year. Every year there are going to be positions of strength, and you just hope they match up with some of the things you're looking at. And when you're looking at your board, you don't have to artificially raise anyone just based on the talent level.
Are you kind of waiting on cornerstone in your quarterback as well as the depth of this draft class? You mentioned long-term gain from drafting. You want to leverage your risk. Is it safe to say that you might be a little more conservative in the free agency period this year?
You know, I think that you always have to take shots, and whether that's in free agency or the trade market, but making sure that you're taking educated shots and not just putting something out there because it gets you through the moment. It's nice to win press conferences in March, but for us, we're trying to build something, and we don't want to be in a situation where we're signing a guy now and 2 years from now, you know, we're having a press conference or a press release talking about him being a cap casualty. So we're trying to balance all of that, but I'll tell you what, if there's an opportunity to still be aggressive and take a chance, whether that's in free agency or the draft, and we've done our homework on it and we think it makes sense, we'd still do that. And I think that's what we do with Carson.
Does what the market ends up being in free agency, will that affect some of the roster decisions you have to make, guys that you maybe haven't done anything with yet that might be on the bubble or so to speak?
Well, that goes to the point about timing. You know, so whereas teams may be sitting here right now and saying, I'm focusing on this particular guy in free agency, and there's seven teams involved in that guy. Does that lead to a trade market to a different guy and where we can get value? Maybe. I don't know. But that goes back to us doing what's right for the Philadelphia Eagles at this point in time and not being in any hurry.